It's a crazy world we live in, isn't it? Unbelievable. Quote you showed me from that magazine, that fits right in with what I was going to talk about this morning. That's just kind of funny how that works out. Yeah, read that for us. Tell them who it said it, and then. No. There you go. So if you're anti-gun and you stop drinking 32-ounce sugary drinks, you'll be good to go. Good to go. Good to go. And you got a lot of money. All right. So if you had any questions about Obamacare, I got this email this week, and this will clear everything up for you. All right. Four things that condensed down to four sentences. In order to insure the uninsured, we first have to uninsure the insured. Number two, next we require the newly uninsured to be reinsured. Number three, to reinsure the newly uninsured, they are required to pay extra charges to be reinsured. But number four, the extra charges are required so that the original insured, who became uninsured and then became reinsured, can pay enough extra so that the original uninsured can be insured free of charge to them. There you go. So there you go. If you have any questions, I'll put this up on the board back there. All right. I'm glad there's not as many people here today because, number one, I'm preaching or teaching. And number two, there's not so many here that if I get heretical, it's not too many people are as affected as normally would be. So this is good. This is really good. Eric, it's good to see you. Good to have you back, brother. Hard to miss you with that shirt. Wow. No, that's good. And your friend. I forgot your friend. What's your friend's name again? Don. That's right. He was here before. I remember him. Leaves a lasting impression. Okay. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 8. Got a lot to cover this morning. It's only 10 o'clock. So, but do we have any announcements, brother, that we need to go over real quick? We're good? All right. Cool. All right. Let me say Matthew, right? All right. Matthew chapter 8. It's an interesting thing. I was reading the Bible one day. Yes, one day. I was reading the Bible. And I read through this, and it just kind of struck me. And I just want to share it with you. And as I always prep and say, I guess my sermon should all be called layman's logic. But this, I guess I've kind of given this a title as Boot Camp for Hell and Armageddon. Okay? That's what we're going to call it, Boot Camp for Hell and Armageddon. That you'll see why that article fits right kind of right in with what I was going to talk about. So let's pray, because we'll need it. All right, Lord, thank you again for this opportunity. We think of our pastor as he's away over in Michigan. Lord, I pray that you'd fill him with the Holy Spirit, and that the church would just people's lives would be changed. And Lord, I pray that you'd be with us here today. We miss Pastor when he's not here, but Lord, I just thank you for the opportunity where we can share. And I just thank you that there's people here that's, you know, even when the pastor is gone, they still come to church and want a fellowship. And Lord, I pray that you'd bless our time around the word this morning. And just praise your name for all that you've done for us. In your name, amen. All right, Matthew chapter 8, verse 10. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's an amazing statement, weeping and gnashing of teeth. Let's go over a couple pages to chapter 13. Chapter 13, verse 42. Well, let's start with 41. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here. The queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with generation and shall condemn it. Am I in the right chapter? No, I'm not. I'm sorry. I was reading chapter 12. That's good stuff too, though, you know? Don't forget that. That kind of fits right in too. The people of Nineveh heard the preaching, but today they won't. All right. That was my rabbit trail. Okay. Verse 41, the Son of Man shall send forth angels, and they shall gather out the kingdom all things that offend, and them with which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Now let's go down to verse 49, same chapter. So shall it be in the end of the world, the angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Kind of a place you don't want to be in, right? Let's go over to chapter 22. Chapter 22. Excuse me, verse 11. I got the right chapter here. Okay. And when the king came in to see the guests and saw there a man who had not on a wedding garment, and he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king of the servants, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Verse chapter 24, another couple pages over. Chapter 24, verse 50. The Lord of that servant shall come in the day when he looketh not for him in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and point him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Chapter 25, verses 29, verse 29. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath, and cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping, gnashing of teeth. Okay, kind of get a pattern here. Mark, I'm just going to read this one. Mark chapter 9, verse 18. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him. And he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. And spake to those disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. Luke chapter 13, verse 28 says, Then shall he begin to say, We have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not, whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. What amazing scriptures. Weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. We've heard about this. We've heard it in comparison to what hell is going to be like. And it's kind of interesting, though, when you look up the definitions of these words. Weeping is the definitions. These are just out of the dictionary. You know, nothing. But it kind of gives a good idea of what it's talking about. Weeping, lamenting, shedding tears. And then I looked up, I wasn't quite sure about lament, so I had to look it up. Lament means to mourn, to grieve, to weep or wail, to express sorrow. And this one, grief or sorrow expressed in complaints or cries. Wailing, loud cries of sorrow, deep lamentation. And then gnashing, striking the teeth together in anger, rage, or pain. Rage, violent anger accompanied with furious gestures, words, or agitation. Anger excited to fury. Anger, a violent passion of the mind excited by a real or supposed injury. That's it. We think of what hell is going to be like. You know, people down there screaming, you know, just, what have I done? Why didn't I see what I should have seen? Why didn't I hear what I heard? Why didn't I read that tract that was left at my door? Why didn't I listen to the pastor when he was preaching? Why didn't I hear to that guy preaching on the street and telling me what God had done for him and what Christ had done for me, died and shed his blood on the cross, weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth? What a hopeless situation to be in. But I read that and I'm just like, there's something gone. Then I think about the world today. I was like, there's something going on in the world today where we're seeing the same thing on the streets. They're not weeping and wailing per se, but the word that stuck out to me and is common in all those phrases is gnashing of teeth. Gnashing of teeth. You know, Jeff has seen it. Brother Steve has seen it. I know everybody in here that's been out on the streets, street preaching. You know, down at the Basilica, or not the Basilica, well, there too, but at the Holidazzle Parade. Playing bodyguard for Brother Steve, that's always an exciting situation to be in. One night we were out there preaching, and he was preaching away, and this guy was about 50 feet away, and all of a sudden he's coming out. No lie, he was coming out like this. He had his teeth gnashed. He was gnashing his teeth. And he was using every... My son was there, and he was a couple years younger, and he was using every swear word in the book. He said, "Dad, are those the words you're telling me about?" I said, "Yep, those are it." He needs to see that. That's what the world is. That's what the world has. That's what the world thinks of our Savior. And that's what they're doing now. The gnashing of teeth. They don't like our God. The churches around us that are preaching about Christ are presenting a Christ that's just all accepting. He loves everybody. And to hear a church like this, they come and sit in our church. A lot of times you'll see, we'll get visitors in here, and they'll last 5 minutes. Or they'll wait till after church is over, and boo, it's like a vapor trail. Boo, out the door, man. The car's gone. You couldn't even get their license plate if you wanted to. Hit and run. You know, unbelievable. But they don't like our Christ. They don't like our God. And the gnashing of teeth. Let's turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We all know this passage. Chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." That's an interesting choice of words. "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." That's our world. That's our churches. We've gotten so nonchalant in churches nowadays that people don't care. They go to church just because that's what we do. It's not to learn. It's not to fellowship. It's not to gather on the Word of God. This church is an exception. Very few churches like this anymore. If you don't believe me, take a Sunday and go to another church around here and find out what I'm talking about. You find out what a local church around here went to their church before we came here and visited. Went to their church, and the pastor's up there preaching, and everybody's down there singing the hymns, kind of like, "A wonderful Savior, Jesus my Lord." Oh, look what she's wearing. "A wonderful..." They don't give a rip one bit. They don't give a rip about the people that they're with. They don't give a rip about the song they're singing. They don't give a rip about the person who the song is about. They come to church and leave. During Sunday school, the guy that we sat under was teaching Calvinism in a Baptist church. Well, that's pretty much common anymore. But he's teaching Calvinism in the Sunday school, and the people are just sitting back there kind of not even paying attention to what he's saying. I leaned over to my wife. I said, "He's teaching Calvinism." I said, "That ain't right." And then he took a scripture and said something. I said, "That isn't what it says." And people, just they don't care. They're just there. They've been there their whole lives. It's just like going swimming. You wade in a little bit and you get used to it. You wade in a little bit more, you get used to it. Before you all know it, you're all submerged in it. Your whole body's used to it. And you don't care anymore. I'll swim everywhere. They don't care. They just sit there. They're used to it. That's all they hear. Don't ever get used to the teaching of the Word of God. We have a great pastor here that teaches the Word of God and preaches it for what it says. Don't get used to that. Don't ever get used to that. Let me read you this article. This is off corrections.com. I know you go there quite a bit, so you've probably read this already. This is society. This is one part of society. You know, I deal with this every day. But you guys see it too. In the workplace, wherever you go, in churches, you see it. This is Stark, Florida. A Florida man has been executed for killing two female co-workers by beating them with a hammer and setting them on fire during a robbery at a fabric store where they worked. One witness to the lethal injection Thursday blurted out, "Die!" as the inmate read his last statement. Robert L. Henry, 55, was pronounced dead at 6:16 p.m. Thursday after the chemical injection at the Florida State Prison. He was convicted of first-degree murder on November 1987, deaths of Phyllis Harris, 53, and Janet Thermidora, 35, at the Deerfield Beach store. Authorities say about $1,200 was taken for the robbery. That was worth two deaths, wouldn't you say? $1,200? Oh, I'll use a hammer. I won't use a pistol. It's just $1,200. I'll just use a hammer. Unbelievable. Before the execution, Henry read a 3-minute statement in which he apologized for his crimes and said he hoped his death would comfort the families of the victims. But this is the kicker. But he also criticized the death penalty, saying thieves don't get their hands amputated as punishment. What a moron. Should have been put to death for stupidity. That's amazing to me. You just beat two women to death with a hammer and you got the nerve to criticize the death penalty? Hey, the scales need to be balanced. By letting you spend 10 years in prison, it's not balanced. You need to be dead. Not dead to society, dead to the world. Cold in a grave to balance that out again. You took his death. Your life needs to be taken. He took his death. That makes sense. You say all kinds of things up here, don't you? I got to be careful. These go all the countries all over the world, right? All right, so we look at the Scripture, 2 Timothy 3, 1-5. Perilous. It says perilous times. Why is that? How much ground do we make as Christians preaching the Word? How much ground have we made preaching on the streets, handing out tracts? It's perilous. Because nobody wants to believe in God, but we're preaching it. It's just kind of a stalemate. Nothing's moving. Every once in a while, you'll get some ground made. You know, somebody will show some interest, or somebody might listen to the gospel. You get a few with the gleaning, so to speak. You're getting the few saved that are out there that still want to listen and still want to hear the truth. But it's perilous. Perfect word for that scripture, because we're just at a stalemate right now. Those who believe and those who don't want to believe. Just kind of right in the middle. But lovers of their own selves, that's everybody. If you didn't love yourself, you wouldn't got up this morning and looked in the mirror. You wouldn't have taken a shower. You wouldn't have combed your hair. You would have walked in and we were like, you're in this section. Right over here. Right up here. All right? Everybody loves themselves. Everybody wants to do the best for themselves. That's everybody. Covetous. You know, everybody, it's always the next best thing. I like this, but boy, I wish I had that. You know, covetous, just unbelievable. Boasters. This week there was a statement put out by LaShawn McCoy. He's a running back for the Philadelphia Eagles. I'm the best running back in the NFL. I'm the best athlete in the NFL. Adrian Peterson is not. That's what he said. Okay. I am the best running back. You know, that's give me a break. You know, You know, like, get this, LeBron James, they call him King James. Okay? Be careful calling yourself a king. Just a word of warning. But these guys, they idolize these guys and put them on a pedestal. And I know I've mentioned this before, but I don't care. You know, last night he shot 9 of 14 from the floor, and the Miami Heat came back and beat Indiana in Game 3 of the playoffs, just in case you were wondering. Okay? If he's so good, if he's perfect, if he's a god, why isn't he shooting 14 for 14 from the floor? Right? Yeah. Why isn't he stealing the ball every time they come down the court? Why isn't he getting every rebound? He's not perfect. He's a human being. But they take, you know, you watch the news, you watch ESPN, eventually you start putting these people on pedestals and thinking they're just amazing people. But they're not. They're not. It's unbelievable. Boasters. I am so good. I am really good. Just ask. Proud. How about Muhammad Ali? What a big mouth idiot that guy was. Best boxer ever lived. So what? What does that do for anybody? You go out there and pound a guy's head in, and then you're good. You're just an amazing guy. That's unbelievable to me. Muhammad Ali. Blasphemers. To speak or address with irreverence. Whose name is used as a cuss word? God? Jesus Christ? They never hit their thumb with a hammer and say, "Oh, Bob!" You know, the house is on fire. "Oh, my Steve!" No, the guy who's in charge, who's number one, is God, is number one. They want to take him down. Blasphemers. Disobedient to parents, so that goes without saying. Unthankful. It's never good enough anymore, is it? It's never good enough. It's never. We take the little things for granted. That we have food on our tables, that we have gas in the tank, that we got up this morning. That you got to come and hear me speak this morning. Right? What a blessing. Unthankful. Everybody else that stayed home was thankful. But it's never good enough anymore. People out there they're complaining all the time. And we do it too. Well, Pastor mentioned that. We just got out of the most brutal winter we've had in a long time. Cold and snow. And then he said, well, when it gets to be hot, we'll complain about that too. Yes, we will. It's unbelievable. We're unthankful. Unthankful. Unholy. I wrote, not even close. Not even close. Unholy. Unbelievable. You read the Scripture and you read, the more you find out about God and the more you find out about Jesus Christ and who Christ is, the more you realize what a dirtbag you are. You really are. What a peon you are. And how slimy. It just, boy, you read about what Christ did and you're just like, man, living. It's amazing we can even look up anymore. They take the word holy and use it, put a bucket after it. Holy buckets. Holy cow. Holy this, holy that. One of my grandmother, if she was here today, she'd be like, only God is holy. I remember her doing that to a man. Only God is holy. And the guy, don't mess with my grandmother. Don't mess. You know, unholy. Nothing sacred anymore. Nothing at all. Especially God. Without natural affection. Well, we see that. That's just being plastered all over, being forced down, force-fed down our throats. You know, we have this at the workouts. We have this, now they have us go through this training every year. It's called PREA. Does anybody else have to go through that? Well, you wouldn't have to. It has to deal with prison. Prison. I've been in prison for 20 years. It's called the Prison Rape Elimination Act. There are vulnerable people that come into prison, and guys that have been there too long, they get the wrong ideas about guys and force them to do things they wouldn't normally do. Okay? But now, this year, this is the second year we've been required to go through it, and now it's all The majority of it is about gays and lesbians and how they are vulnerable and how they need to be treated. And this is what they're forcing on you now. It's required training. And then right after we got done with it this year, I got done completing the course, they formed the GLBT committee. How can we better treat them when they come in here? Hey, if they want equality, they should be just like everybody else. Treat them like everybody else. But no. We got to have our section for it, you know. Unbelievable. It's just amazing what they're forcing down our throats anymore. This is true. And if you watch the people who are for all this junk, they're usually the ones that are glued to the TV. Because that's all you see anymore. It's all the sitcoms. It's everything. Truce breakers. Nothing is good for a handshake anymore. You can't just shake a man's hand and say, I'll be there, because nobody trusts you anymore. You sign a contract and that can be broken. It's no big deal. It doesn't mean anything. And it's just kind of led man to believe, well, what's this all about then? That can be broken. It can be changed, and man's done it. They've taken the holy Word of God and did what they wanted to it. Oh, I don't like that. Don't like that. Kind of a Thomas Jefferson kind of thing. You know? It's unbelievable. That truce breakers. Nothing sacred. False accusers. They call us legalists and bigots. And all we're trying to do is save their soul. Christ came and died on a cross for you. Oh, you legalist. Bigot. You can't go. You'll go to hell if you die in your sins. Oh, you hate person. You hate monger. Really? Because I tell you the truth? That's amazing. Unbelievable. False accusers. Incontinent. Has nothing to do with bathroom issues there. No self-restraint. Anything goes. Every year, we hear of something new that's taking place. We knew it was coming, but it's still shocking. Guys, now they're trying to push it, you know, kids, adults and kids. Next is animals. A guy married I think I saw that a couple years ago in the news. A guy married his dog. Don't play in his yard, kids. Please, don't go near his yard. You know, build a big 10-foot fence. You stay over there. Unbelievable. You know, interject this, I guess, he still needs to be saved. As messed up in his mind, the only person that can change that guy's mind and his heart is Christ. That's the only thing. You know, I can talk about this, and this is kind of a different kind of a message, but these people still need to be saved. No matter what house, you know, you guys were out calling yesterday and the Catholics slammed the door on you. Was that yesterday? You know, they don't want to hear it, but we still need to make the effort. There's still a chance. Even though it's perilous times, there's still people out there. And, you know, it's kind of interesting. This is kind of a side note. I have a lot of those. Kind of a side note. You know, you think about the end times, you read about what it's supposed to be like, and, wow, am I going to be able to make it? Hey, you wouldn't be here if God didn't think you could get through it. He's got the people here that He wants. And we need to stay faithful to Him. That's the key. We got to keep our eyes on Christ. That's the only person that's going to get us through this. There's going to be some times to come that I don't think we're going to be able to handle. But we can through Him. We can through Him. Go on here. Fierce. Going down the list. Fierce, violently hostile or aggressive. Seeing that more and more. I mean, people coming out, stop preaching that! Stop it! Get out of my yard! I don't want to hear that stuff! Get off my property! You know, my son was out with PJ and Caleb door knocking one day. And this guy came to the door and said, I don't want to hear it. I just don't want to hear it. Just leave. Just go. But PJ said, we're just here to tell you about Jesus Christ. No, I don't want to hear it. Get off my property. Just go, you know. Well, we're just here to, you know, talk about the Lord. But get off my property! And the guy finally went out and slammed the door, and PJ goes, woo! Let's go on to the next door. That's what it's about. Let's keep going. You know, he's going to do that. You know, I had a lady last week came out to the door and just goes, I don't want to hear anything you got. Boom. That was it. She's going to stand before God one day and say that same phrase. Unreal. People just don't want, they're fierce, they're violent, they're hostile. Just get out of here. They come up and, you know, Steve's had people pin him against the wall. And, you know, Caleb had a person swing at him at the Holidazzle a couple years ago. What in the world? Just because somebody's telling you, you're interrupting our parade? Stop it. Pete, the kids are going to have nightmares tonight. Despisers of those that are good. You mentioned the definition of despise the other night. Worthless, distasteful, to dislike very much. They don't like us. They don't like to hear the truth. They don't like to hear good. Nobody's wrong anymore. Everybody's a winner. No, you lost. You stink. You need to get better. You don't make the team because you're not any good. Find another sport. Find a different place to go. You stink. You know, but why? He's on the team, so I should be. Why? Just because you're a human? No, you got to learn how to despise those that are good. They don't want to hear the truth. Jesus Christ died for your sins. Oh, stop it! Jerk. I don't like you because you tell me what's right. You don't want to know what's right? That's unbelievable. Traitors. You betray another's trust. False. Anything goes. Traitors, whatever's good for me. That's the main theme. Me, me, me. What's in it for me? What am I getting paid? What am I getting out of this? They'll do anything. They'll break contracts. They'll trade in their best friend. I see it at work all the time, guys. They'll get into a fight. Well, my buddy, he'll testify for me. Go to, what did you see? What happened there? I didn't see anything. And he was probably sitting right there when he saw it. Betrayed his friend because, I don't want to get involved. I don't want to get in trouble. Don't bring me into this. Heady. Willful, violent, rash, impulsive, vehemence. Heady. Just willful. It's just whatever, you know, they got such a strong will against whatever we're doing. High-minded. Everybody thinks they're pretty amazing people around here. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Do we need to stop there for a while? Or has that been mentioned quite a few times? What's in our life that we love more than God? Lovers, that's what it boils down to. You love it more than God? Something's wrong. Something is desperately wrong. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. There we get back to the people that are used to church. They sit in a church and hear the preaching of the Word of God and hear about a God that can do anything. He can do the impossible. He's capable of doing anything. But they just sit there and get out in the workplace. Oh, I have trouble in my life. Instead of going to the God of the impossible, they go to the bank. Or they go to the plastic or anything. When they have a God that's waiting, hey, let me prove myself to you. I want to help you. But we put them in the closet and we'll break glass in case of emergency. That's where we have Christ now. He's no longer our friend. He's no longer our Lord and Savior. He's just a tool we can use when we get in trouble. Having a form of godliness. We go to church and hey, brother. Hey, sister. How you doing? We get out in the car. Boy, I can't stand them. Unbelievable. You see what she was wearing? Denying, having a form of godliness, putting on another face here, and then put on another face when you get out in the world. When does it become real to us? When does it become real? We got so many people going to churches out there that just are putting on the form of godliness. The whole church is putting on the form of godliness. They think if they hum in just a certain tone that everything's fine. Everything's right. I told Pastor if there wasn't enough people here this morning that we just put a circle of chairs and hold hands and hum. So we had too many people, so we couldn't do that. So I had opted for that. So we see, but we look at that now, and let's take a trip back here real quick. You're probably wondering where I'm going with this, right? Everybody's like, okay, weeping, wailing, gnashing of teeth. And then we look at the way the world is today. The way they believe, the way they act, the way they don't like God. Any mention of God, they get upset and they get ticked off. A little piece of paper that says, where you're going to spend eternity when you die? Oh! I'm not going to die tomorrow. You don't know that. Last week I met a guy who's in his 80s, never heard it before in his life. How rare is that? He either never heard it or he was a little senile. Okay? But he goes, wow, I better read this. I go, yeah. And he goes, I'm going to sit down in that chair right there when you guys leave and I'm going to read this. Praise God. Praise God. There's still somebody out there who wants to hear it, but most people don't want to hear it. Oh, I practice my Catholic faith. How much faith is there in the Catholic Church? It's all works. It can all be seen. There's no faith there. Tell me about your Catholic faith. Tell me about it, would you? I'd like to hear that. Now we're going to look at something else. We're going to go back. We looked at the gnashing of teeth. We're going to look a little bit further. Let's go study that gnashing of teeth a little more. Let's go to Psalm chapter 35. There's boot camp for hell and Armageddon. Boot camp. We're in it. We're seeing it. Psalm chapter 35. This is amazing. This passage of Scripture. This is it. This is kind of what's going on. And this is kind of the attitude we need to have. Cornflakes. Okay. False witnesses did rise up. They laid to my charge things that I knew not. They rewarded me evil for good to the spoiling of my soul. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned into my own bosom. I behaved myself as though he had been my friend or brother. I bowed down heavily as one that mourneth for his mother. But in my adversity they rejoiced and gathered themselves together. Yea, the abjects gathered themselves together against me, and I knew it not. They did tear me and cease not. With hypocritical mockers and feasts they gnashed upon me with their teeth. They don't give a rip if you live or die. If you're preaching the truth and witnessing on a regular basis, they'd rather see you dead. It's like every time you bring it, they're like, shut up! Don't want to hear it. Don't want to hear it. It says in Job 16:9, he teareth me in his wrath who hateth me. He gnasheth upon me with his teeth. Mine enemy sharpeneth his eyes upon me. Let's go over to Psalm 37. Psalm 37, a couple pages over, verse 12. The wicked plotteth against the just and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. We'll go to Acts 7:54, Acts chapter 7, story of Stephen. What a story that is. What a great man of God. As little as there is about Stephen, boy, you could sure learn a lifetime of how to live your life. Acts chapter 7, verse 54, and when they heard these things, they got tired of hearing the truth. These people, these high and mighty people didn't want to hear the truth. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed on him with their teeth. Lamentations 2:15 and 16 says, all that passed by clapped their hands at thee. They're talking about Jerusalem. They hiss and wag their heads in the daughter of Jerusalem, saying, is this the city that men call the perfection of beauty, the joy of the whole earth? All thine enemies have opened their mouth against thee. They hiss and gnash the teeth. They say, we have swallowed her up. Certainly, this is the day we looked for. We found. We have seen it. Now, let's take a picture. Training for hell. Boot camp for hell in Armageddon. Let's turn over to Jude real quick. I'm sorry. Jude. Jude 13. Raging waves of the sea foaming out their shame, wandering stars to whom they reserve the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch also, seventh from Adam, prophesied these saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints, 10,000s of his saints, to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouths speaking great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. Boy, is that the last days or what? They hate us. They hate the people that are telling them the truth. Oh, yeah, the big churches are spelling out. You got, what's his name, Olstein down there filling up an old basketball stadium. Why? Because he has nothing. He's not telling them the truth. He's not telling them anything convicting at all. Why wouldn't you want to go to a church where your conscience is not bothered at all? Oh, you're just fine the way you are. You're just, come on in. Hey, you know, you can come in this church wearing whatever, being whoever you are, but you're going to hear the truth. You're not going to be coddled and thinking you're fine just the way you are and what you've done with your life. Before God, you are a sinner. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. We're all sinners. We're not trying to lift ourselves up saying we're better than you because we're the same way you were. But you need to be saved. You need to humble yourself before a holy God. But that's a big thing to ask of somebody nowadays. To get away from your pride and humble yourself before a holy God. Now let's take a look at this for a second. You got people that are... Every reference to gnashing their teeth in the Bible is somebody that's mad. Somebody that's angry. Somebody that's vile. You think... I used to picture people in hell, you know, just saying, you know, oh, man, I messed up. You know, I can't believe I'm on fire here. I can't, oh, God, please, I'm sorry, give me another chance. You know, that's what I used to picture that and say, wow, but now I read this and I looked up the word gnashing and I'm like, no, it's going to be a little different than that. The picture I get now is, it's all selfish. Weeping. Why? Why? Because I'm on fire. Because I'm on fire. Lamenting. Man. Oh, man, this burns. This hurts. What am I doing in here? I was told it wasn't going to be like this. They told me that hell wasn't real. They told me it wasn't real. And I can't believe I'm down here. I should be. I was a good person. How dare you? How dare you put me in hell? Who do you think you are? That's what I see now. I see it all, and that's what the training at boot camp for hell, that's what I see out there now. How dare you tell me I'm a sinner? How dare you tell me I'm going to hell? Then one day they wake up in hell and are like, I can't believe I'm on fire, I was a good person. Joel Osteen said I was a good man. The Pope said I gave lots of money to the church. I took the sacraments. I ate Jesus every day. You have no right to put me down here. Who do you think you are? And they're just burning up and they can't. I was Pope John Paul II. Can you imagine? What's this? I bowed it. I don't know Polish, so I can't speak it. I bowed to the Black Virgin. In Poland, I bowed to her statue every day and asked for her forgiveness. That statue can't save you. But this isn't like purgatory. This isn't like I thought it would be. And they just screaming and hollering, wailing, why am I on fire? Why am I in hell? Why am I burning? I'm a good person. I went to church. I read my Bible every day. But you never accepted Christ. You never accepted Christ. What about Buddha? I'd sit down, but I can't. It'd be hard to get up. Wow, I was supposed to be a cockroach. Why am I burning in hell? Why am I on fire? I was told something different. Why am I here? That's not fair. I deserve better. I was told something different, but this isn't right. I am on fire. I'm burning. I hurt. Doesn't somebody care? This hurts and my body aches. I shouldn't be here. Unbelievable. Gnashing of teeth. Who do you think you are? Then we see it in Revelation. Turn over to Revelation chapter 16. More training for hell. Here we go, training for Armageddon. Boot camp for Armageddon. Verse 8. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat. And they blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues. In other words, he has the power to start them and stop them. But they blasphemed the God who has power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and the kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues with pain and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. Repented not. This is not my fault. I hear it all the time at jail. I'm innocent. That stinking judge. Oh, like you had nothing to do with it, right? Nothing at all. You weren't anywhere near the crime. They just have, hey, let's arrest that guy tonight. That probably goes on, but you know, when does the responsibility come back? You're responsible for your own actions, your own life. But they get convicted, and they die, and they go to hell, and they're like, man, this isn't right. This isn't fair. This isn't right. The priest told me I was fine. I repented. I went just before I died. I went and confessed my sins. I went to the confessional booth and told him what I had done. And he said I was clear if I just rub these beads and, you know, say these phrases and Hail Mary and all this stuff. And I'd be good. And I did that. And I died. And now I'm here. This isn't fair. And they call God a liar. They blaspheme His name. How dare you do this to me? Who do you think you are? And then Revelation chapter 20. Verse 11. And I saw a great white throne. Why is it white? It's pure. It's pure. It's holy. Everything around, all the saints are standing around in white robes because they've been cleansed of their sins. It's a holy place, a pure place. Somebody comes up there and out of hell and they're brushing off the dirt and they're just all the burning and they're like, oh, now I finally get my chance to plead my case here. I saw the great white throne and him that sat on it from whose face the earth and heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. The earth and heaven fled away. Those who worship the stars, who worship space, who worship the earth, the things in the earth and nature and everything that man could produce, they saw that fled away from God's face. That should be an indicator of who's sitting on that throne. It wasn't the earth. It wasn't nature. It wasn't anything in space that you could depend upon to get you to heaven. But that man is sitting on the throne. He got up there and everything fled away. That'd be a good indicator of where you're at.
And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which was the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. All boils down to one choice he made. One choice. To accept or reject Christ. But haven't we done many wonderful things in your name? And you know, they start to see, they see that they're, oh boy, I don't belong here. This is a holy, pure place. I stick out like a sore thumb. You know, but hey, you know, I was a good person. I did a lot of good things. And he opens the book. Yeah, you did a lot of good things. Yeah. You're a good guy. Really good guy. Open that other book. His name's not in the book of life. But have we done many wonderful things? Done everything in your name. Yeah, you did it in my name, but for your glory. Yeah, you did it in my name, but to get your name put on a plaque. You didn't do it for me. Depart from me. All you workers, you didn't have anything to do with me on earth. Why should I give you the time of day? Depart from me. And I picture it says in John 12. Is it 12? Will you be judged out of the words which I have spoken? Is it John 12? You're going to be judged out of the words which I have spoken. And he's going to... I just picture Christ standing there. He loved everyone so much that he died on the cross. He gave his life. And he's just standing there going, man, I gave my life for you. They beat me. They spit on me. They kicked me. They did everything to me. They whipped me. I did this for you. And all you had to do was reject your way. Humble yourself and accept me as your Savior. And you didn't do it. Well, who are you to judge me? I'm not. That book is. What does the book say? His name's not here. Depart from me. I never knew you. I wanted to. I wanted to know you, but you chose not to. Depart from me forever. That's not fair, as they're going away and getting thrown into a lake of fire prepared for the devil and his angels. That's who it was prepared for, not you. The devil and his angels. And you chose to follow him. Unbelievable. But here we are. We're in a world right now, boot camp for hell and Armageddon. They hate God. They'd rather spit in his face than do anything. All out there, you know, there's nothing wrong with pleasures of this world. It has its place, but it's not to be your God. It's not to be your God. There's nothing wrong with boating, fishing, golfing, hunting. There's nothing wrong with that stuff. As long as it doesn't become a god and interfere with where you should be and what you should be doing as a Christian. So here we are. We live in a boot camp for hell and Armageddon. We saw the list in 2 Timothy of what this world is like. We saw in 2 Timothy what most churches are like nowadays. We have to be different. We have to go out and tell these people and continue to tell them, no matter what the cost, that there is a hell. No matter how much they yell at you, nasty, get away from me. I don't need this. I'm good enough. Yeah, I'm a Christian. Oh, really? Oh, could have fooled me. Get off my property. Unreal. But we have to stay faithful. You know, I'm not going to stand up here and criticize. You know, everybody has schedules to keep. Not everybody can be here on Saturday. Are you a witness at work? You witness verbally or by the way you work? Do you tell others when you have a chance? You know, I appreciate it if you wouldn't take God's name in vain. He didn't do anything wrong. I heard a message here just recently. I'll be done. The guy was golfing with somebody, and the guy had one of those trach things in his, because he had lung cancer or whatever, had a hole in his neck. And he'd hit a bad shot. And he'd walk over to his golf cart and get his little speaker and use the Lord's name in vain. He'd walk all the way over to get the speaker. And the guy that was golfing with him said, "Hey, just interesting, why does God get all the blame for the bad shots and you get all the credit for the good ones?" And he walked over to his cart again and said, "That's a good point." You know, however they talk through those things. Isn't that amazing? God gets blamed for everything now. When it's bad and it happens to me, that's the thing. Oh, this shouldn't be happening to me. I'm the victim. That's, hell is full of victims of a hateful God, an unjust God, a lying God. Unbelievable. We saw a book in the bookstore, 101 myths of the Bible. Unbelievable. Joseph was not sold into slavery by his brothers. That was a battle of 12 kings that went on. It was like, what? Unbelievable. It was just, you got to be kidding me. Quit throwing this stuff up and putting it into print. You know, printed vomit. You know, wow, that's really good stuff. But let's remember where we're at. You know, nothing's going to be rosy these days. It's not pretty out there at all. Not at all. These people are going to go to hell one day and they're going to blame God for it. But we have to try and get them not to go to hell if we can. All right? Let's have prayer. Lord, thank you for this day and thank you for the Word of God. And Lord, it's such a blessed book. It's so special to know that you wrote this to us. You took the time to make sure these words were in there for a reason and put down properly and in the right order. And Lord, it's just so neat to read your book. Thank you for it. Thank you for these people that are here and listen to me. And Lord, I just pray to be with Brother Bob now as he comes in the morning service and preaches to us. Just be with him and bless him and help us to listen intently, Lord. We got to go out and face these people this week, and we need something to else to charge us and get us going, and so we got answers for these people. And Lord, it's just nice to go into a world of hate and crime and just have peace, knowing that we have the answer. But help us be willing to share it. Thank you so much again for this time. In your name, amen. All right.